Growing up living with sight loss brings its challenges, but what about being a parent of a child diagnosed with sight loss? How difficult is it to remain positive and live with the emotional roller coaster? Norrie disease is a rare genetic condition causing blindness or severe sight loss right from birth. In addition to this, most affected individuals suffer from progressive hearing loss, often starting in early childhood, and the disease can have other effects as well. I'm joined now by Tracy Stoneman, whose son Callum is living with Norrie disease. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Simon.
Thanks for joining us. Now, tell us a little bit about Callum, because he's living independently now, isn't he?
He certainly is, yes. When he was born, he was only a couple of days old, and the paediatricians, she picked up on something not being quite right with his eyes, and she couldn't see the red eye in the back, so she referred him over to the eye and ear department. It was there that we discovered that he did actually have Norrie's disease. Now, at that time, that meant nothing to me because it was such a rare disease. To be told he'd got something, I kind of did the panic, the new mum panic thing, and I said, oh no, will he have to wear glasses? At that point, we didn't actually realise that he was blind. All the doctor could tell us at that stage was Norrie's disease carried blindness, deafness and brain damage. So very, very early on, we knew Callum had got problems or was different, but we didn't know to what extreme. Now, as it turns out, he only had the blindness. So he's actually got the mildest form of the disease. So we're very, very grateful for that.
You must have felt that time, though. You've got all your dreams and your things ahead of you. All that must feel as if it's crumbling.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was just, like, everything had just gone from the elation of having a brand new, a newborn little baby, this little bundle, to literally devastation. Everything just kind of, the world just felt like it was, the bottom had just fallen out of our world. Because you do look, again, naively and maybe ignorantly, but you do look, and providing this little newborn bundle has got five fingers, five toes, you assume everything is perfectly normal. Of course, now we know nowadays that isn't always the case. Originally we were devastated.
Did you and your husband, did you feel that perhaps it was your fault in some way?
Yeah, of course you question everything as to why it happened. Later on down the road, I actually had tests because it's the generic disorder which the females are a carrier, and the males are the affected. We knew that if it was, it could have actually come from anywhere, or it could have come from maybe myself. So I was tested, and it did prove that I was a carrier. Now, the only thing that then led to was people such as my mum and my nana wanting to be tested. Now, what we found out when we spoke to the geneticist was it doesn't matter where it's come from. All you need to know is where it's likely to go from here. So the last thing I wanted to do was have my mum and my nana tested and then feel guilt and things like that. So we actually drew the line at just me being tested. So we will never to this day know whether it was something I was born with, or whether it was something developed in the gene mutation between myself and my husband.
In that situation, there's no point keep hauling yourself over the coals then, is there?
No, definitely not. I mean, it's the future what I focused on. So it was not where it came from or why it happened. It was what we're going to do now. And I think that's where the positive attitude kind of kicked in once I was over the initial shock of it.
And what kind of things did you use to keep yourself positive then?
The one good thing was that the internet wasn't as widely known back then. So I didn't spend lots of time Googling things because it was very unknown. Whereas today you can actually get fixated with Google and a lot of horror stories on there. So it was just, we've got really good support from family. Callum has an older brother who was brilliant with him. And it was just his determination as well that kept us going and positive He was hungry to do everything and didn't want to be. Although he understood he was different. I don't think he actually knew why he was different, or I don't even think to this day he'll actually know what sight is. He knows he can't see, but I don't think he'll ever actually know what he is missing out on. We made sure that we were very enthusiastic with him, and we provided every opportunity for him to be included and to be treated as normal as he possibly could.
Did Callum go to mainstream education then?
He did, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was something that I actually fought for. I wanted him to go to his local school with his brother. So that worked out. We had a few stumbling blocks along the way, but he did achieve good results and everything. And then for his upper school, he went to a mainstream school, which had actually incorporated the local blind unit. So he was fully supported there as well. And he continued on to Shipley College and then on to university. So all the way through his education, he's been fully supported.
He sounds like he's a determined boy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He, even from being small, he would, his famous last words were, "Let me do it. I'll do it." That's all he used to say. But he did, to be fair, he did actually turn into the typical teenager and get a little bit lazy though, and a little bit, a bit Kevin and Perry kind of thing when he was about 15. He still has exactly the same traits as a normal teenager.
And what about friends? His friends, did they just treat him as anybody else then?
At first, at nursery school, his primary school, he was centre of attraction. He had a lot of friends, mainly little girls who wanted to fuss around him and help him out and everything. So he did really well at first few years in primary, but then what tends to happen is girls stick to girls, boys stick to boys, and you tend to find the boys are wanting to get into football and things. Now, that part of schooling, Callum actually struggled, and he didn't have that many friends because they just wanted to go off and do what they wanted. So, to have this little boy who you had to be looking after all the time was more of a, I think it was more of a baggage for them. So it was more of an inconvenience to have Callum with him. So, his later years of primary and his very early years of secondary, he did actually struggle with friends and inclusion of the friendship side. But later on, he actually got with a little group who they were sighted. There were all issues as to why they got picked on and things like that. So they all kind of had a little group together, and they were a lovely little close friendship group. And he got a lot of support from them. And he's now moved on out of school. He's got a lovely little network of friends, and he's got a lovely girlfriend who's very, very supportive as well. So he's doing really, really well now.
As a mum, though, how do you let go when you... Because all you want to... Your instinct is to protect Callum, would imagine. And especially as he's grown up, you just want to sort of cuddle him and keep him safe from the world. How do you let go and think, right, I've got to let him go now and go his own way?
Yeah, of course you do. I mean, right from little, like you say, you've got the natural reaction to want to protect them. And I did have that. And I also found that in a way that protection or that suffocation was not helping Callum. So I had to take a step back. Even things like when we were when I was making his meals or just general stuff like I would do even probably for my elder son, tidying the rooms and things like that. I was still doing it for Callum, but found that by doing that and not allowing him to learn how to do it, then it was a hindrance to him. And even things such as cooking his meals, I was doing them all the time for him, but at some point, he had to learn all those things. When he went to uni, as we found, it was all new to him. I mean, obviously, my elder son, yep, okay, I'd still do it for him, but he still saw how to do it and he was capable of doing it. So the difference with Callum is he has to be taught things, not just, he can't actually visually just see to copy. So, yeah, I realised that I was stepping in his way a little bit and encouraged him to do more and just to let him have a lot more independence. And yeah, when he first got his guide dog, I was a nervous wreck. and probably still am if I follow him around and things. But again, he's got to do it. When he went to uni, he was having to learn. My heart sunk when I saw it. It was over busy pedestrian crossings. It was at the side of a dual carriageway. But again, I had to let go to let him do that and encourage him to do it. When he did leave the unit, I was absolutely in bits. It was really sad. But then on the other side, something inside me said, well, where would you prefer him to be? Living independently with friends, with his guide dog, having a normal life, or would you prefer him to be sat in his bedroom here with you? And that was the question, what gave me the answer to let him go further and do everything he can.
What would you say would be one of your darker moments over the years?
Probably the school time when he didn't seem to have that many friends, and he was very, very, he went in the shell quite a lot. He didn't like school. So it was just the period there when it was probably anything between about 8 and 12.
And for the future now, are you optimistic now?
Definitely. I'm very, very positive for his future. I've just seen his sense of achievement and everything that he's done. Yep. I've definitely continue to push him all the way. And a lot of the praise is actually down to his girlfriend as well, who's helped him so much since we've been living independent. He's just so capable of a lot more than I probably encouraged him to do, but he's doing it all now.
And when you look back to the early days when Callum was born and you get your heartbreak initially then to where you are now, would you have believed things would have turned out so well as they have?
No, definitely not. I mean, I look back 20 years and it seems like yesterday, and I can still feel those feelings of kind of the heartbreak. And the sense of the unknown, that's what I think the main thing was. I didn't know anybody who was blind or anybody else who knew anybody who was blind, not from birth. So it was all very, very new to me. And just that thing, you question, will he walk? Will he talk? You know, and then... 11 months he was walking, and I think 12 months he was full-scale conversations, and all I wanted to do was tell him to sit down and, you know, be quiet. You wouldn't believe then, moving forward, what he is now. He's just achieved so much, and I'm so, so proud of everything he's done.
Now, for somebody listening just now who may be right at the start of this journey, where would it be good to go to get some advice and obviously to talk to some people who can have some empathy for this?
I'd definitely refer to the RNIB. There are quite a few Norrie's disease groups on the internet. There is one on Facebook, which is really, really good. You do get quite a lot of support, and I know they are supporting research in hearing loss, which Norrie's disease can carry. So those kind of forums are really, really good and will give you information. But my words to any family who are just starting out where I was 20 years ago is just remain positive and just believe in your child, because they're capable of a lot more than you give them credit. At the end of the day, it's the vision that they haven't got, but the senses do kick in. I do believe that other senses definitely do kick in, and they will achieve a lot more, but you've got to give them that support and the push.
Tracy Stoneman, it's been fantastic chatting with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're very welcome, Simon. For anybody out there who is needing any further information, you're quite welcome to get in touch with me, or even get in touch with Callum directly. I'm sure he would love to share his experience with you. Please just get in touch through the Norrie's Disease website or through Simon.